From the studios of WICR at the University of Indianapolis, I'm Richard Brendan, and this is Journey's Fire. On today's program, my special guest is Martha Reich, singer, songwriter, and certified music practitioner. She's an award-winning Santa Fe-based singer-songwriter and multi-instrumentalist. Martha Reich has performed around the world and shared stages with artists such as Melissa Crabtree, Consuelo Luce, and Reverend Horton Heat. Originally from New England, she received a BFA in illustration, but music called. And she relocated to Santa Fe in 1999, where she has since released 5 CDs, including the award-winning album entitled Brave Bird. Martha's also a certified music practitioner, playing for hospital patients, those in hospice, and people living with Alzheimer's and cancer. Her music can be heard on Pandora Radio, Women of Substance Radio, as well as national and international radio stations. It's a joy to have her on today's program, and she's joining us from beautiful Santa Fe, New Mexico. Martha Reich, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Richard. It's so great to be here and to talk to you.
Well, you know, there's so many amazing people out there in the world doing great work. And I heard a little bit about you, actually, briefly, through your husband, Greg Braden, when he's been on this show maybe 5 or 6 times. But it was my friend Aaron Kaiser, who lives in Michigan, that said, hey, check this out. You might want to have her as a guest. And I said, wow. I guess I forgot she was a singer-songwriter. Yes. So I reached out to you, and I met Erin because she used to work for the Don Miguel Ruiz family and booking them.
Okay.
And so here we are. So I love how these synchronicities and social media can also connect people in wonderful ways.
Yes. Sometimes it's quite surprising, and it's wonderful when that happens. And I believe it was Erin, you said that.
Yes.
You may have seen a podcast that I did with Julie Riesler.
That's what it was. That's what it was. Yes.
Yeah. And so I love how that happens. It was synchronistic how I met Julie and so with you, and just wonderful.
Yeah, that's great. Well, you know, in the bio, I share a little bit about your background. And one of the things I shared was this calling to music that you had after you got your BFA degree in illustration. And I'd like to start with that. First of all, where did your love and passion for music start? At what age, and how did that begin for you?
That's a great question. I would say, well, I started playing guitar when I was 9, and I don't really know where that desire came from, to be honest. I don't have a musical, so to say, family. Mm-hmm. My brother actually, he used to have a great record collection, and so he turned me on to the Beatles and some cool stuff. I was kind of geeky. I still am geeky, but I just really wanted to learn the guitar, and I used to play air guitar at the kitchen table, and my mom said, okay, I'll finally get you a real guitar. And so then I learned just kind of basic chords and how to read notes, but I did take a year of classical lessons, which I really enjoyed. But after a while, my mom said, you don't really practice enough, so no more lessons. But I continued to play. And then at some point, I would like learn other people's songs. And eventually, the real magic, I think, came when I said, I want to write. I started writing poetry and then putting it to music. So.
Mm. How does that process work for you? Do you think about a theme, or do you just get a download one particular day and you stay with it as the words start coming out?
You know, it's always different, and it's really changed a lot through the years. When I started as, I would say, really a young teenager, it was really, I think maybe a lot of young people could identify, and even older people, but, you know, going through so many changes at that time, I just took to writing, poetry, but then By then, I was really loving playing guitar, and what I realized was after, well, later on, but still, when I did discover people like in the folk scene, when I started, you know, hearing people, singer-songwriters, when I lived in Massachusetts, mm-hmm. I was like, wow, they're just expressing whatever, you know, is in their hearts or whatever they want in music and in words. And I said, I want to do that. So I think at the beginning, it often would be the words, and then I would come up with the music and come together. But more recently, it goes back and forth. Sometimes I'll come up with some kind of musical melody, and then go, okay, what do I want to say, you know, with the words? What's the idea for this? I guess that's kind of it.
Yeah, you've been inspired a lot by nature, haven't you? That's a important thing for you.
Oh, yes, you picked up on that.
Yes, uh-huh.
Yes, I grew up in the countryside of Connecticut, of New England. And also as a young person spent a lot of time, as our family had a sailboat, mm-hmm. and we used to sail a lot. And so that's totally being immersed in nature. And also we always had a vegetable garden, and I just loved being in nature. And then, you know, as I got older, I think it's just something natural too, as children, maybe these days things are different as so many people are on computers and young people, unfortunately, I think it's not always the go-to, like, to be outside. But for me, especially now, I find it so healing. And if I don't go out in nature for a while, I'm not doing so well. And I also learn so much from it. Like, I think it's such a teacher and reflection of our own personal lives.
Nature is very much an inspiration for you. Where else do you draw your inspiration from in your life and also for your craft?
Well, I think I'm very introspective, and I think, you know, I definitely have my own take on my spiritual life. And so I think it's just how I see, you know, what's going on in the world, with my friends, with strangers. I'm very observant. And then I kind of take that in, mm-hmm. and do my own sort of interpretation of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the best way I can describe it, you know, just how I see it in my relationship to the world.
And how many instruments do you play, Martha?
Oh, well, I've kind of lost count. I definitely, you know, guitar was my main instrument. And then after, you know, a few years ago, someone recommended I try the keyboard. Mm-hmm. And so I've gone on to keyboard or piano, and I don't really say I write on a lot of instruments, but I'm not very proficient on them or can't read music. But a piano, the ukulele, the dulcimer, mountain dulcimer, let's see, what else? A banjo, and now I'm learning the cello, which is quite exciting.
Oh, my. Well, as a matter of fact, you created something, I think, for our show, a short instrumental piece that I think you sent me last night, which is beautiful, how it all flowed together.
Thank you. I know you had been asking for some music that I, you know, might play for people in hospice or music for healing and transition. And sometimes, you know, my music that is my singer-songwriter music that I write will also carry over to that. But I wanted to see if I could create something, you know, that I might just play for someone. And so I just got inspired to do a little improvising on guitar. And I had never yet tried to play cello with it, and I said, let me do it this time. So I did. That was my first time.
I want to play that right now for our listeners. It's a short piece, but it's very beautiful, and it'll give you, the listener, a taste of some of the other songs, which also has Martha's voice, but especially when music is being used for those in a hospice situation. So here it is right now. Welcome back. I must have listened to that about three or four times. A piece like that, you probably don't throw a name on it, do you? It just came to you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, what I was doing was actually playing some pieces that I would play, like reading the music. And I don't have it with me now, so I can't think of the names of them. But for someone, you know, in a hospital or hospice or something, and then I improvised off of that. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't really have a name. It's just an improvisation, yeah.
Yeah. When did you start performing? When did you have the confidence enough to start playing in front of people?
Oh, that's such a great question, too, because I did not have the confidence, but I was in my mid or late 20s, and I was living in Massachusetts, and I said, I'm going to go to these open mics and play, a song that I've written. So, you know, I would practice at home in my living room, and I think, okay, I'm ready. And I would get there. I would get there, and I'd be like, oh my gosh, I am so nervous, and I wish I sounded as good as I did in the living room, you know, but I just kept doing it, which to me has really been an interesting process to look at now, almost like 25 years later or something, or more. I wasn't confident, but there was something in me that said, you must keep doing this. Mm-hmm. And eventually I really enjoy it, playing in front of people. But then when I moved to Santa Fe from New England, I had finally recorded an album. I didn't really intend to, but I had 10 songs, and my boyfriend at the time said, he helped me record them, and he said, let's put them on a CD. And I said, okay. So I did, and when I got them back, I said, maybe I should play out now. I have this CD.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a little bit backwards.
Yeah, exactly. You've, over the period of time, though, you've done well. You've been nominated and have won numerous awards. As a matter of fact, your 2018 release, Brave Bird, was described as stunning and heartbreaking, and earned you a gold medal for female vocalist in the 2018 Global Music Awards, as well as the LA Critics Award for Best Folk Artist. That's pretty heady stuff.
It is. It was quite surprising. But, as I continued on, Brave Bird is really special CD for me. And I'm just so honored and grateful that it really did receive some lovely recognition. Yeah.
And the song off that CD is called Brave Bird, I believe.
So Brave is from the Brave Bird CD, maybe you're referring
yes,
to?
Yes, yes, uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that struck a chord with a lot of people.
Yes. That song is, it may be, that's a very personal CD, and the song is very personal. I actually was inspired or helped to write that. I was taking a course from Carrie Cole out of New York.
Mm-hmm.
She has a vocal coach and branding coach for music, mainly for independent musicians. And during taking this course on this kind of a songwriting class, she said, you know, write the things that you really don't want to say. Write the things that you feel very vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what came out of So Brave. Yeah, and I think that, you know, some people may identify with that song.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure they will. As a matter of fact, we're going to go to that song. We'll play that right now, and then we'll come back on the other side.
Stay.
Welcome back to the program. In case you just tuned in, my guest is Martha Reich. She is a songwriter, but she's also a certified music practitioner. And I'd like to ask you about that. Talk about what it is to be a certified music practitioner, what you had to go through to get that certification.
Okay, thank you. Yes, well, I'll just preface it with this. I was going to Southwestern College for a program called Grief and Loss Certificate mm-hmm. Program. Mm-hmm. And the first module, I've always been kind of drawn to that field of grief and loss. I'm not quite sure why. But the first module, a woman came in, Judith Shotwell, who is a music thanatologist. Mm-hmm. And she came in with her heart, and she played for the class and explained what music thanatology is, and it was just so beautiful. And I knew right away that I was like, that is what I want to do with my music. Even though I always wanted to be in a rock and roll band, I don't think it was my calling this lifetime. But I was like, oh, please, can I be in a rock and roll band? But everyone always said your music is so soothing and calming and healing. So after I experienced Judith's beautiful heart music, I looked into where she studied, and another program I found was called Music for Healing and Transition Program. Mm-hmm. They are based out of New York, but they have, at that time, we would actually go, they had modules where you would learn how to play, how to do this kind of music. And I went to learn in Colorado and also in California. And what they teach is how to learn the appropriate music for the patient or the people that you're playing for. Mm-hmm. And it has very different types of audiences. There may be one-on-one. It might be hospice patient, or it might be someone pre or post op, or it might be a woman, before or during labor, or a baby or a child in a hospital. It might be someone, elders in the, elder care facilities, maybe somebody with dementia. So depending on who you're playing for, you learn how to gear your music. And say somebody who is actively dying, that music would be very much arrhythmic with lots of spaciousness in it, so that you're actually allowing for them to pass, to leave. And you don't want to play anything that they may recognize, because they're actively dying. You just want to support them in their process and not bring them back to, oh, I know that, song.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, when you said that you wanted to be a rock and roll artist, I kind of chuckled, because I've had people like Krishna Das, who's a kirtan artist, on the program, and that's what he wanted to be, a rock and roll artist. And then he went to India and totally got humbled and didn't even want to come back. And his guru said, no, you have to come back. And he ended up going into kirtan music. So, and with hospices growing and the need growing worldwide, and especially in this country, and having a lot of experience in hospice myself, I see such a need for your kind of music. It very much is healing and helping a person cross over in a more peaceful way.
Yes. I thanks for sharing about Krishna Das. I didn't know he wanted to be in a rock and roll band. He could have been, or he could be.
But, yeah, yeah.
It's interesting.
It's funny how oftentimes our destiny finds us. We're heading down one path, and all of a sudden something else opens up, and then it begins to take off. And it's like, huh, I didn't see that coming. So, but that's why in his style, he tends to, unintentionally, but a lot of his kirtan music, he weaves in rock and roll lyrics. And that's what's kind of separated him from everything else. But you are a storyteller, and you are a poet. And when I've worked with hospice patients as a chaplain, I often found that soothing music, or even just reading poetry, they all have a cadence to them, in ways I can't explain, or vibration. It just calms people down, and you're kind of bringing both together with the lyrics and the music that you're creating and being able to do that. I'd like to go to one of the songs that we're going to play that you've played for hospice patients, and it's called I Know a Place. And before we play that, can you share a little bit about that song?
Yeah, that's a very special song and unique song because I did not write the lyrics. Tessa Horan wrote the lyrics, and so it's unusual for me to, you know, record a song like that. But Tessa was a dear friend, and she was in the Peace Corps, and she's only, I believe, like 23 or 24 years old. I might have that wrong, but she actually died in... And while she was in the Peace Corps, she was working on a place called Tonga, the Tonga Islands.
Mm-hmm.
And after she died, her mom had asked me if, she said, Tessa had written the song or poem, would you put the music to it? And that came together, like, so quickly. It was sort of like, okay, like Tessa said, okay, here we go. We like co-wrote it, you know, from where she was in the other world, and here I am. And so that is the story of that song.
Okay, yeah. Okay. We're going to go to that song right now, and then we'll come back.
Place where we can go. I know a place where we can go. I know a place where we can go. Sunshine, shadows, raining wind blows. I can show you
I will always remember forever.
welcome back to the program. My guest today is Martha Reich. We're talking about some of her amazing music that she's writing, and not only as a folk singer based in Santa Fe, but also the music she's taking into hospice and other situations in healthcare that people need that music to help them on a healing path. And so much research, by the way, is coming out about that. I want to go to another song, though, that you said your first experience with this song was as a hospice volunteer. And the song is called Always. But let me take a step back. I like to, people who do any kind of work, volunteer work, music, what have you, with hospice, I always like to ask them, in your life, was there a time when you actually experienced a person taking their last breath? And if so, what was that like for you?
Yeah. Well, the first thing that came to mind is my father, but I did not get to experience him taking his last breath. But it was my first time ever. I basically sat with him for a week in the hospital, and with my brother and my father's sisters, and he was in the dying process, and I knew, you know, nothing about this process, and you know, it was just, here's my pop and he's dying, and it was obviously a heartbreaking experience for me. And but by the time we got to, like, after being there about a week, the nurses had said to my brother and I, you know, if you guys are really tired, why don't you go, you know, we have an empty room, you can go lie down. And we were pretty exhausted, so we said, okay. And just as it would be, the nurses, after we kind of, you know, slept for a little bit, they came in and they said, your father is, you know, this is it. And so we came in and he was gone. And that experience actually was an impetus for me to learn more about the dying process, grief process, and also I ended up learning Reiki. I was just an artist at this time. I was not in the healing field, and okay, I became a body worker and energy worker. So I learned Reiki. But after that, I did experience, you know, in hospice as a volunteer, that person taking their last breath.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and you, I'm wondering what you're learning now since you've been as a certified music practitioner. But now you're out in the field. I mean, you're out there with these patients as a volunteer, also as a musician. What are you learning as an artist? You probably have a feel for this. Certain songs you play, whether it be with voice or without voice, do you find that you're slowing them down, speeding them up? Are you getting into a rhythm like, oh, I really sense this person could use this song?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, so there's a real science to it, and I'll just say honestly, I'm not a real science-oriented type of person. Like, even music theory is difficult for me. Mm-hmm. But I'm really grateful for what I've learned. And one of them is called entrainment. So if I go in and someone maybe has an elevated heart rate or blood pressure, I want to try to meet them where they are at first. So, you know, maybe a quicker beat, a rhythm, music to begin with, and then slow it down. And so then if we're entrained, then they may slow their heart rate down.
Yeah.
So that's something. And then I also, though, do use my intuition a lot. I think it's just even how I will play the music. But, you know, you had asked me previously, what's it like when someone takes their last breath? Mm-hmm. And, you know, of course, we don't know when that's going to be. We might be told that, or I might be told, you know, it's they're definitely transitioning. But I'll say that, you know, like when I've played for someone and I know they don't have long, or they tell me that they don't have long, I definitely, like I said earlier, I will play very spacious music. But when they do take their last breath, I mean, often I don't know that. I mean, and I'm just playing, but then a nurse will say they're gone. And there is a quality to that that it's kind of indescribable, and there's this silence like nothing else. It's almost like the silence is really loud, and
yes.
It's quite, as you know, because you're a hospice chaplain, is
yes.
that right?
Yes.
So you're quite familiar with it.
Well, as a matter of fact, this song we're going to go to now, Always, and I think it will help the listeners listen to it maybe even in a different way. This was a song that during your first experience as a hospice volunteer, while you were playing this, the person died. And it was also a song that you then played for her memorial afterwards.
That's right.
Yeah. So here's the song, Always, and then we'll come back to our conversation.
Do I send this love now that you have gone? Where do I send this love now that you have moved on? It's just an old habit I fell into. You have gone. waves want me to sail away. And maybe this blue, blue sky needs more birds to fly. Maybe this heart of mine could use some gentler times. Always, always I just wanted to feel love. Always, always I just wanted to feel it from above. It's inside you, and it's inside me.
Hey, welcome back to the program. It's such a joy to have Martha Reich on today's program. She's an amazing artist, also writer, I believe, poet, that she brings, weaves that poetry into her music as well. And there was another song that I wanted to play before our time ended. And it was a song that you were inspired by your mother-in-law. And you also said it won several songwriting awards, and that song is Fade Away. Can you share a little bit about that song?
Yeah. Well, that was one of the songs that when it first, it kind of just came out, like you had mentioned at the beginning of our conversation, the words and the music and just kind of came out of me. And then as I continued to work on it, I think at first it was like a love song. And then I was like, no, there's something more to this. And so it became, after visiting and being with my mother-in-law, Sylvia, who has some form of dementia, it's not really Alzheimer's, but she was definitely losing, her recollection of what was happening, like more in the more present time. And her stories were more from years and years ago. But she also was so, so present. And so I really just put myself into her shoes. Like, what does that feel like? Mm-hmm. And also I was feeling like often we don't really honor the process of aging, whether it be in, people or nature. And I think so much of our society is about how to stay young, and which is a great thing, but also there's a beauty, I think, in aging and a wisdom in it. And so I tried to, capture that in the song.
Yeah, and I wanted to ask you also, not only as an individual, as you get a little older each year, as we all do, but also in the work that you're doing with people who literally now are facing their own mortality. They've been told they don't have long forever. And what are you learning about impermanence? I find that the longer I do this type of work and the older I get, the more I am so aware that there's fewer years ahead of me than there are behind me, and that, by golly, every moment really is precious. I need to really be consistent in living that way because nothing lasts forever.
Mm. Yeah. It's I think it's such a good reminder, or I need to be reminded of that. I can be so much in my routine or what's next. But I think that I also feel sometimes an urgency to do the things that, my goals or my things that I envision happening, because I don't have forever. Who knows when, yeah. You know? So, yeah.
And by the way, we're going to go out with this song. And so before we do that, Martha, I first wanted to thank you for sharing your time with us today. Also, I want to thank you so much for the gift of this music that you're putting out in the world. And I would love our listeners to reach out and visit you online. What is your web address, please?
It is MarthaReich.com, and it's MarthaReich.
And there's also videos on there, your music is on there, lyrics to songs are on there. And hey, if people want some energy work from you, there's even a page about the Reiki work that you're doing as well on that site. So again, thank you. It's been a real treat for me to have you on the program. And we are now going to go out with this beautiful song, Fade Away.
Fade away, hey, I wanna be the sweet mystery. When I fade away, hey, I wanna be all like the sea. wanna be so precious to you, like a pink and white valentine. When I fade away, hey, I wanna be a sweetest star. Come to its end.
Another beautiful song from Martha Reich. I really encourage you to visit her online, and her website is Martha Reich, reich.com. And that's it for us. I want to thank you for joining me. All shows are podcast on the site. And so for engineer Kylan Talley and production coordinator Angel Richardson, I'm Richard Brendan. You've been listening to Journey's Fire. We're bringing love to life, one broadcast at a time.